And perhaps you could turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 19. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and thy grace. Spirit of God, thank you as you outwork the will of our Heavenly Father, that we might be the beneficiaries, that we might have all the benefits, so that you would be honored and we'd be profited. And our God, we thank you. So thank you again. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we've been looking and spending time looking in the gospel of the lengthy and most important sections, as it were. God gives the most time to the person, his death, burial, and resurrection, so that we would understand that's the whole point of forever, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God was going to be honored in and by humanity in their unbelief. And in their believing, God is going to be honored forever. And thus, so we're looking at the death of Christ, which we've gone through, and in the details thereof. And we share together in verse 28 again, a bearing repeating. After this, Jesus knowing, remember now, darkness is upon the face of the earth, at the whole earth, the sun was darkened, it says, so that's the earth. And in the process, God is bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And he's separated from God the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, and God covers it with a pall, as it were, the blackness of night. Who can understand it? Who wants to understand it? And God covered it. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And God didn't put it there. So now, having said that, after the 3 hours, it's 3 o'clock approximately, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. And remember the word accomplished, to be complete, to come to an end, to bring to perfection, to bring to the goal line, to fulfill. That's the word. To finish it, perfect it. It's perfected. All things are now accomplished. That the scripture might be fulfilled. There's the same verb again, as we shared, saying, I thirst. Now, and verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And there's the third time the word is used. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. God did all that. And in the last moments, he uttered the last sayings according to the scriptures. It is finished. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully finished to bring to an end. So all of the scriptures. Why is that so important? Only one Bible, only one God. No confusion is to ever, you never have confusion. Book of Mormon, Science of Mind, wherever you want to go. Quran, you'll never, no problem. The Bible's the Bible. And history outworks itself in a most wonderful way to fulfill the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And in that fulfillment, Genesis 3:15, sliding down the corridor of time to here we are in John chapter 19. And in the process, he has all of the scripture. And God fulfills it. So what? I want to know, God, over to Matthew for a moment, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. No, don't do that one yet. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And if I may, here's all the scriptures, page after page of history. And the scriptures, and every now and then, God puts the little information in to tell you how it's going to go and what we're reading in Calvary and on the cross. And God tells you without any question, I remember now the Gospel of John chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, verse 39. All script, you want to know about eternal life, all the scriptures, all of God's writing reveals and shows his wonderful person. So as we turn the pages of history, we find God's wonderful person revealed without any question. And in particular, chapter 5, verse 17. Think not, let me read verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, reason, that you may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, complete, perfect. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass on, one jot or one tittle, little marks in the Hebrew, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Everything has to be fulfilled. And if you look and try to figure what's the percentage of that, of all of the item after item after item of God telling you, page after page of history, all of these things have to be fulfilled. And now they're being fulfilled on Calvary's cross. The percentage of that, possible, impossible. But no, it's God's word, God's writing, God saying it. Therefore, that's why you can have full assurance of faith. That's why when we talk about God in Christ, read the word, God, can you do and be all that you say? Yes. And the authority of the scriptures stands out front and center. So therefore, here he is telling us he's finished. And everything, he's finished with everything he said he... And all of the scriptures fulfill everything that he said, to the jot and tittle, to the little mark. They'll be fulfilled in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way, affirming and confirming God's wonderful saving grace. Now, having said that, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? How is that so? And then we go down the scriptures. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures are going to tell us about who he is. He had to be born. He had to die. The scriptures crucified, buried, and risen again according to the scriptures. Everything is according to history. But who's killing him? The Romans, the Jews. They don't care about those scriptures. God does. And God plugs them in. Because they're gonna do exactly what God said they would. That's what's gonna happen. To make confirmation, no doubt. Affirmation, settled. Don't even debate it. Nothing to debate. It's just so. It's so, like the sun in the sky. It's just so. That's wonderful. With such settledness, such assuredness, that's what believers need to have, that confidence, comfortable, to be competent. Why? Because it's so sure. Where is God? No, God's the invisible God. God isn't, he's different. We're in the earthly realm. Everything else is spiritual. And in between, here's all the sound waves traveling through the room. Pictures are in the room. Rays are in the room from the sun. This is full of everything. We can't see it or feel it or smell it. It's everywhere. It's in sailing right through us right now. It's like, think of 2 Corinthians 4. You want to be caught up with the things, not the things you see with your eyes, the things you can't see. That's the things you need to pay attention to, what you can't see. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way, confirming, and overwhelmingly so there's no question. Now, God, let's put the rest some of it together. Are you finished? Everything is finished. So is there anything to be finished? No, it's finished, perfected. Now, God, lock in this perfection. Lock in for us. What did you do on the cross? You died and took our place. You died for our sin. Hang on to that. Now, God, we got to lock it in because you're finished. Okay, over to Luke. And in chapter 27. I did say that. If you find it, let me know. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. All of these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are four windows looking at the same event. So each window gives you little different view, the same as an accident. An accident in the middle of the rotary. And the people in the four corners will each see that accident from a different window. Same accident, same everything, different window. The four Gospels, to give you the four windows to see it in its fullness. Luke chapter 23. If I can. In verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, he's finished. He then says in a loud voice, he said in a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here's the soldiers and everyone at the foot of the cross listening. to these statements. Here they are listening to them. Wow. And in the process, that's why the centurion's going to say after this, truly, he is the Son of God. Now, so, in a loud voice, he cried, Father. Remember, for 3 hours, he's separated from God the Father. He's now restored. He's finished the job. He now goes back to his position as the Son of Man, the Son of God. And he says, Father. He couldn't say it for 3 hours because he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. But now he says it, my Father. And what does he say in a loud voice? Into thy hands I commend, into thy hands I commend, I deposit, I'm going to deposit my spirit. That's what I'm going to do. Remember, your body, soul, spirit. The body, physical body, houses, you live inside the physical body in your soul, the person, the soul. The soul is made to have life. The spirit, body houses the soul. The soul houses the spirit. The spirit, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Christ, that's the part that relates to a person until they get saved is dead in spirit. It's, a light bulb down here. If I had a light bulb up here, light bulb, and the light bulb's there. Everyone has a light bulb in them. Everyone has a light bulb. The light bulb is meant to be lit. When they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God lights the light bulb, the relationship, spirit. That's what you have. What is he going to do? I deposit my spirit into the hands of the Father. That's where it belongs. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we did all the other things, but at least a little, not a lot, but a little, remember the word deposit, to commit. Commit, deposit. And hold your finger here and go over to the 2 Timothy and just to remember 2 Timothy. You'll remember in the 12 noon, my God, what shall I have? Well, why hast thou forsaken me? And then you know that same verb, etc. Hebrews 13. God said, I will never forsake you. I will never, never, never. 5 negatives. I will never forsake you. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Benefit. 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul is going to die at the hands of Nero. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Why aren't you ashamed, Paul? You're in prison and Nero's going to take your head. It looks like your whole life's all over. You didn't get a thing. You don't have anything. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, assured, that he is able to keep that which I have committed, deposited unto him against that day. I gave my heart to God. I gave my situation to God. I gave the world society to God in which I lived. God has to work it all out. I deposit myself. The Lord Jesus said, into thy hands, Father, I commit, deposit my spirit. And we're able to say, into your hands, Father, I deposit my soul, my situation, my substance, my everything. Now, back over, Luke 23. And in Luke chapter 23, picking up, please. And the darkness, remember, has 12 to noon, 3 o'clock, and the Father, and the darkness has ended. And therefore, and God, what did God do in that darkness? He drank. Look at chapter 23, Luke, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, noontime, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, so you cover the light, everything else is dark. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in two, and God did a wonderful thing. God made it possible to come to God. Why? Because Christ died for our sin. He was forsaken. He, remember in the Garden of Eden, not my will, Father, but your will be done. I wish I didn't have to, but it is your will, and it is why I came to die on the cross. Must I drink the cup all the way to the full? The world is going to drink the cup of judgment to the dregs, all the way down to the bottom of the cup. And I am going to drink the cup all the way to the bottom of the dregs. I'm going to take every sin and every thought and every word and pay the price for it all. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drink it all. That's why he wouldn't, anyway. That's why he did what he did in a most wonderful way. He paid in full. The wages of sin is death. He died, dead, D-E-A-D, dead. That's important. And he drives it home. That isn't something you run away from. It's something you want to understand. He was crucified, dead. Now, hang on. And in the darkness. So he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Now, what do we know? I want to lock that in. Lock that in if I can. Over if I can Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And you have the beginning at verse 11 and following, the curses. Israel is to understand they need to obey God 1,000% in everything. And they needed to understand failure to obey God is judgment. If you leave, think of what we did on Wednesday. If all you have is evil, evil keeps you from the good. Good overcomes evil. Good makes up for all that evil is. Evil. All of that which is malignant, which is wrong, unhealthy, unholy, unhappy, everything that's wrong in life is evil. That's the word, evil. And when we get saved, God restores the good that we lost, Adam and Eve. Now, we just did that Wednesday. Now, Having said that, so here's the curses. And Israel needs to understand the evil part is going to bring judgment. So don't be looking lightly at the what I'm telling you. Don't do these things. Do these things. Don't do in order that you can be blessed. Otherwise, so therefore, and each of these things, as you know, verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light of his by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. And every curse, you better be Amen. So be it. You stand up on that mount on the middle of the land of Palestine, that's what they're going to do, and shout so everyone, nations will hear it, all the way to the Jordan and beyond the Jordan. Amen. If you don't do this, cursed. So you're sobering. Don't fail to do this. Think of some exercise you're doing or something you're handling. Okay, years ago in an F-102, we put the stable platform in it, et cetera, but in the process of that, we went to the McDonald's or wherever it was to see the airplane, what we were doing. And we were given a tour, so we were able to get up and look right into the cockpit of the F-102 where the pilot sits and everything. We did all that. And our tour guide said, do not touch that button, red button, when you're looking in. Don't say, why aren't this does? Don't push it, or you'll go sailing up through the roof. Do you understand? It will eject you right through the roof. Don't touch it. What are you saying, God? Don't fail to do what I'm telling you. You'll go up through the roof. I'm warning you. So therefore, my point. I didn't mean to drift on. Chapter 27, the last statement, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not, N-O-T, all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be all the words of this law. He didn't say some of the words. He said all of it. Now, tie that, as you know, over if I can, to James. Book of James. You already know these things. James chapter 1, going directly in light of everything, verse 10. James chapter 1, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, remember what you just read, and yet offend, fail, make a mistake, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. All of it. What are you going to do in the cross? I'm going to drink every dumb thought, word, deed, feeling you can ever have. I'm going to take it to the cross and pay the price for it. Now, what's so wonderful about it? Because we're thinkers, we're still alive, and we think and we feel and we do everything, right? And we respond to things. That's how we do them. And our thoughts are not perfect. Our words are not perfect. Our motives are not perfect. Everything is going all over the place and doing it. What do I know? Christ paid the penalty for everything that passes through my mind and brain and heart. He died and paid for every single thought I will ever have. Do you know what a wonderful thing that is? There's a word, you know it. You've been forgiven. What do you think forgiven means? Well, I didn't do anything this time. Think, no. I have forgiven you all of your dumb thoughts and feelings and fears and faults. Dead. Dead means dead, doesn't it? Dead. Now, if a person's dead, and if you want to go down to the mortuary somewhere, funeral home, probably find somebody out there in a box somewhere. And if you really, really want to do it up, go down to the little cemetery down here, just down the road, and take a look at the stones. And you can say whatever you want to those stones. And all the people that lived years ago, they're dead. Reckon yourself dead. So you aren't tripped, offended, stumble over your own thinking, your own feeling. You stumble over it, and it louses you up. He's dead. That's what are you saying, God? I want it confirmed by the scripture, which we'll do in a sec. He's dead. According to the scriptures, he's dead. And lock it in. Say, what kind of message is that? It's the kind I need to get. Because what on earth did Christ do in the cross? I'm not saying, oh, the poor dear suffered, you see. Wow. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and in the light of all of that, over to Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. And you would recall, Christ finished, died on the cross, ended it. He's all done, perfected. Chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is, chapter 10, verse 4. I'll even read verse 3 because I need that. 4. 10, 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own rightness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end. Finish. End of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's finished. He died. Dead. Paid the penalty. So what are we going to do, God? Romans chapter 4. Romans in chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, in verse 5 directly. 4 and 5. Remember the righteousness that we need? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God will count that to your account. You believe, and he writes righteous. Righteous. He's finished. He paid the price. He died. And we play games with it in our mind all the time, we do, more or less. Now, that was the message. That's the gospel. Give me the gospel in a different setting, a different way. Acts chapter 26. And in Acts chapter 26, picking up, please, directly in the light of the context, here's Paul's commission, and I'll read verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, that's Paul, to whom their eyes, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, reason that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Gonna go, said the Lord. I want you to go. That's the message. I want you to go and deliver the message. God has rescued us on Calvary's cross, and he terminated the whole arrangement from the standpoint of sin and evil, and he crucified and set it in order, condemned it. It's all finished, and we have forgiveness, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful forgiveness, to be discharged from the penalty. Guilty, we're guilty as can be, but we're treated as innocent, as if we had nothing, never did anything. Wow, wow. And you know from the Matthew and 11:28 and all that. Come unto me, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now you could have read that better than I said it. I'll give you rest. How can that be? Rest. But I got other stuff I carry. And we keep picking up stuff. When you go home, by the time you get home, you'll have a whole lot of other stuff in your head. And then tomorrow morning, you'll have some more stuff in your head. And more stuff in your head. God, what are you doing? I'm giving you rest. I don't want you to be sitting down carrying it. Is that right? It's in your head and in your heart, in your old nature. It isn't going to go away. So be of good cheer. You're a lousy sinner all the way to the end. How's that? You got a problem with sin, a sin nature. So relax and don't even try to. The more you play with it, like the tar baby, you know, the more you. Did you have I'll give you a silly illustration. I use glue sometime, being limited, and I use glue to do some things. And when you use Gorilla Glue or something like, you know, there's some 5-minute epoxy or something, and you use it, okay, and then someone calls on the telephone, I got two things going. And I try to put my finger to hold this, see. Now this finger won't move, see. So I put the phone down and get this finger, and this finger gets caught, see. And you know what? The more I keep doing it, I get stuck to what I'm gluing. Do you ever do that? You play with something and you keep getting caught up in it. You want to drop it and poof. Don't play with it. Thank God he forgave your sin. Thank God he's finished. You'll be finished with what he's finished with. Be finished with what he's finished with. And stop trying to, that's us, old nature, we got it. And if you're going to convince tonight, you'll see it a little bit. The world system, what I just tried to mumble out, the world system doesn't care 2 cents about what I just said, which is marvelous. They don't believe it. Is it possible? They don't even want to conceive. Think about it. Don't think about it. So we don't get rid of anything. So God, here we are, guilty as can be, and God saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, we're going to come unto you, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And by the way, the veil of the temple was rent in two so that you have access to God. God has access to you. You have access to God in a unique way. You're able to receive him, and he's able to receive you in his Son. A unique, wonderful relationship. The veil is rent in two. Wonderful, 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 rent in two. And now say, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we're able to come, and we're able to be what? Gone to all the different places, Corinthians and that. You have become, when you get saved, God places you in the body of Christ in a unique way. And of all the different ways he describes it for you to enjoy it, you have become the temple of the living God. You have become his temple, and you house him. That's the church body, to house him. You are the temple. Think of that. See? Wow. God, you did that. I did. All of it's wonderful, 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 wonderful. Now, having said that, so the Jews are in the process, having gave up the ghost and into the hands of the Spirit, and in the process, over to John, Gospel of John, and at chapter 19. Now, chapter 19. And picking up, please, I'm going to read verse 30, because here's the window, looking from John's window, to Gospel of John, verse 30, chapter 19. When Jesus therefore had received the vineyard, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, John is going to fill in what the others don't. John's going to help us. The trouble is, John's going to help us, And the clock isn't going to help us. So, but a little. Here we are, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now, so here's Pilate, and here's the Jews. Now, what do we know? Well, the Jews cannot have the bodies on the overnight hanging on the tree. That's the law, Deuteronomy over there. I hate having to turn there. I'm going to leave that out and pick it up later, if the Lord tarries. On our way to heaven, we'll look at it. How's that? On our way to heaven, we'll finish it. Pilate, what do you want? The Pharisees can't have the bodies out overnight. It's against the law. You don't leave the bodies hanging overnight. Secondly, it's the preparation. It's a high holy day. It's the preparation for the Passover. Passover begins at 6 p.m. And the next day is the first day of unleavened bread, a high holy day. So we've got a Wednesday, high holy. And we got a Thursday, high holy. And comes Thursday night at 6 o'clock, we go into Friday. Friday at 6 o'clock. We go into Saturday at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock on Saturday, it's now Sunday. You've got 3 days, and we aren't going to do that now. That's why Christ is crucified, not on Friday, Wednesday. They can't bury him. They bury him. They can't put any spices. They can't go to the store. Can't do it. I have to do it. I just did that. It doesn't belong here, probably. But Wednesday, that's why Good Wednesday, he had to die. Preparation. So the Jews, they can't have bodies hanging, three of them, in the middle of their holy day. It's a happy day. You can't have dead bodies hanging on a tree when we're trying to celebrate. See, are you celebrating the Passover? You don't even know what it is anymore. So therefore, what do they do? And when you hang on the cross, Romans, you hang on the cross, you could hang on the cross for 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks. Death comes slow. So what do the Jews do? Is they can't have him stay overnight. And so the Jews suggested to Pontius Pilate, go break their legs. And when you break the legs are broken, the support body draws down, breathing, everything is affected. They'll die quick. They'll die quickly. Break their legs. Pilate then sent out thing, and the center went out to do his job, the soldiers. And they came to the Lord Jesus. And they came to him. Now, what do we know? Prophecy. No bone of him shall be broken. The Lamb of God, Exodus 12, shall not break a bone in that sacrifice. Not break a bone? But the soldier's going to go and break their legs. But one soldier is going to go, and the second thing he's going to do is pierce the side with his lance, his sword, with a pointed triangular point, and up into here, pericardium. Here's the heart, and here's the surrounding fluid and sac that is there. And he penetrated it because what? God said, they're going to pierce my son, not break his legs. Nothing can be broken. It's going to be pierced. You got it? According to the scriptures, you'll know he's dead. And when they came, and they reported back to Pilate, and Pilate said, what their report? And he gave a confirmation. Because when they came to the Lord Jesus to break his legs, he was already dead. That the spear went straight into his heart, pericardium. But that's a wound he never felt. He never felt it. He had already given up the ghost. He had already died. But according to the scriptures, you need to understand confirmation. No bone. No bone. pierced, and there's more. Do you understand? He's dead. Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. He's dead. You calculate he's dead. Don't walk away from it. He truly is dead, and they're going to bury him. That's what they're going to do. No more. Why? Because we're dead in sin, and we're going to die spiritually if we don't get saved. Are you getting a little bit dead? Thank you, God. Thank you very much. He died. God, you're going to make it clear according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again according to the scriptures. God says, listen, how much more do you want confirmation? Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, maybe. No, how much more do you want? Either believe. And God said, there's no way for you. These are written for you to know for sure. Don't have a debate about it. Just thank God for it. And practice the truth of it. I got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and work, God, and your kindness. Where would we be without your kindness? Thank you very, very, very much. Give us an understanding and an exercise and enjoyment of that which is beyond our ability to understand, but not beyond our ability to enjoy and say thank you. Thank you very, very, very much for the forgiveness of sin, to have terminated anything, everything that could ever, ever, ever interfere with our wonderful future at thy soon coming. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.